Webby, how great's rugby league?
Oh, it's the greatest game of all. It certainly is when you watch a match like that. I thought that match last night between the Roosters and the Storm was grand final-esque in terms of intensity and quality. I remember saying to someone who I was watching the game with, at 1.5 metres, I should say, when the Roosters got out to 10-0, to a 10-point lead, I thought no one will beat this team. They'll win this competition again and win three in a row like the great Parramatta teams in the 80s. And then what happened? Melbourne beat them. It was an incredible finish, the way that Melbourne held their nerve. And I can't recall a more chaotic final 2 minutes to a match than that, to put it into extra time. So, no, it was an absolute ripper. Given what the Storm have gone through in terms of this being picked up and transplanted to Sydney and then to the Sunshine Coast. I spoke to Craig Bellamy during the week and he said, yeah, it's been hectic, and they lost Munster, or they've put Cameron into halfback, where he played a lot of football as a junior, but hadn't played there. He gets into first receiver a lot, of course, but he handled that position with aplomb last night.
Yeah, he's just a total professional, isn't he, Cameron Smith? Although they just looked a different team when he went into that hooking role. And
he did. He did.
Yeah, he just got them going over the advantage line. And it was just a wonderful game of football. The Roosters, they would be kicking themselves because they came up, I think, with 18 errors for the match. And that was certainly an un-Roosters-like performance. But if that's what we're going to get when the teams come together at the end of the season, Webby, with our finals football, we're in for a real treat.
Yeah, absolutely. I know they were sort of saying a lot in the Channel 9 coverage last night, and I wrote about it a couple of weeks ago. The way that the Morris boys have just been kicking on, like they give the Roosters on either side of the field is quite remarkable. But yeah, as I said, I think a lot of people were thinking who was going to rein in the Roosters, and the way that they managed to do it was pretty special from the Melbourne Storm. So, maybe it's not a one-horse race that we all sympathy.
Webby, what about the mess at the Broncos?
Puck, where would you like to start, brother?
My God, I don't know. Fix this, please.
Even Steve Renoff's giving Darren Lockyer a clip.
Yeah. Can they fix it?
This is the... they'll have to fix it.
Yeah.
But this is the drama that I... You know, watching it from afar, like the whole thing that I keep thinking about in the last couple of weeks is that this all boiled down to a power struggle between Wayne Bennett and Paul Smith, Paul White, the Broncos CEO, and Carl Morris, the chairman, in 2018, when Bennett wanted an extension for 1 year on his current deal to coach to the end of 2020, and he'd bring on Jason Demetrio, his assistant, and that's how it would go. And the Broncos weren't prepared to do that. They weren't prepared to give him that 1 year. So they turned into this power struggle that saw Bennett leave the club and Anthony Seibold signed on a 5-year deal with an option for a sixth his way. And as revealed by Darren Lockyer on 100% Footy earlier this week, with no performance clause whatsoever. So they gave themselves no out whatsoever. To take Anthony Seibold, who'd had one great year at South with a great squad, but only after 1 year. So as it stands, it looks like they've backed the wrong horse. So people were talking this week after the Titans loss about Anthony Seibold possibly being sacked. Well, the board would have had to sack itself because they're the ones that made this decision. So I've also revealed this in the Herald today as well. On top of that, they also paid South Sydney $600,000 to take Bennett and Demetrio off their hands. So it's an extraordinary set of events that have led to the Broncos, should be the biggest powerhouse in the competition, sitting in second last spot on the ladder. How they fix it, they've just got to wait it out. But there's a lot of tension behind the scenes about between the old boys and particularly Darren Lockyer. The relationship between Lockyer and Bennett will never be the same again. The relationship between Lockyer and some of those former players who thought Kevin Walters should have got the job will never be the same again. So, I don't know. In terms of football matters, Loz, you're probably better off speaking about it, but they seem like a club that keeps chopping and changing their side. I don't think the roster was too bad because they came within 2 points of winning the minor premiership in 2018 under Bennett. So I don't know how much tinkering had to happen, but it is an extraordinary state of affairs at the Broncos.
Yeah, at the moment it is, and they're all having a go at one another. And I see Steve Renouth has had a little bit of a crack at Darren Lockyer, saying that he's escaped some of the scrutiny because he's a power broker up there at the Broncos. And, you know, he's on the board, he's influential, and he's played a part in it as well.
What's Lockie's?
Well, I'm assuming, and Webby, you might be able to tell me a bit more. He's on the board.
Yeah.
And they would go to Darren for a lot of the football advice.
Okay.
100%. But I don't think he's escaped scrutiny whatsoever. When this first happened and they appointed Seibold, there was a whole lot of stuff said publicly by a whole lot of former Broncos players, and it was directed squarely at Darren Lockyer. And, you know, I think at the moment the problem is that Carl Morris, the chairman, is the one who's having a fair bit to say. Like, even him coming out this week and talking about getting Kevin Walters back, which just doesn't is just unfathomable that they would even consider bringing back the bloke who got overlooked for the job 18 months ago. But I think, you know, as I said, there's a lot of that's a very close club in terms of its former players, given how much success they had over a long period of time. And when Darren Lockyer and the rest of the board overlooked Kevin Walters, there was a split there that, you know, it's going to take a long time to repair, if ever.
Well, there's mixed messages coming out of the organisation as well, Webby, because the chairman has said that, you know, when they were discussing with Anthony Seibold, you know, the Broncos over the next few years, it was going to take time because we had to obviously rearrange our roster and get the club in a lot better shape than what it was in. And then Anthony Seibold has then, in his press conference yesterday, said, well, no, I never had that conversation with the chairman.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much of a smart play that is for Anthony Seibold
to
be the chairman publicly, but also Anthony Seibold, I think, is having a bet each way. And I like Steve's, but he's twisting himself in knots a little bit with some of the comments he's making publicly, because he said himself that he keeps telling everyone how he's got a 5-year deal and it's going to take 5 years to turn this around. Well, we can't be referring to anything else but the roster in terms of turning things around, because what else is there to turn around? You don't need 5 years to turn around how you play if you're happy with the players that you've got, particularly when he's inherited a roster that went so close to winning the minor premiership in 18. So, yeah, I find the whole thing to be very un-Broncos-like. You know, I know they have their ebbs and flows like any other club, but they've never been this disorganised, I have to say. Like, they've never looked... But, you know, even when Bennett hasn't been there and it's been tricky in terms of when they've had Griffin and Henjak or whoever and they've been losing matches and whatever, but, you know, that's just the inevitability of professional footy. But they look like a broken club at the moment, and a club with that many resources, with the backing of News Corp, with that many third parties available to them in a one team, one city outfit is remarkable.
Webby, a bit more off the field drama for the Bulldogs with this video being leaked of Adam Elliott.
Ridiculous. So I don't want to give it too much credence, but we have to, because the Bulldogs have put out a statement and the video is getting around. It's like it's a 5-year-old photo of him having a drink in a private function. There's no females involved. The integrity unit looking at it, but I would be stunned if there is any action taken against him. He's such a good young bloke, Adam Elliott. I've known him for a while, and he would be mortified that this has come out. The Bulldogs are very, very cranky this morning that it has been leaked, and they wonder what the motives are. As we all know, he's going through some delicate contract negotiations with the Dogs at the moment. There's some other clubs sniffing around. There's all sorts of stuff that I think I've spoken about on this show before in terms of drama at board level. The Dogs sort of deny that there's a split on the board, but I keep being told otherwise. There's other factions around the club that are causing a lot of drama in terms of leaked stories about who they might be after in terms of coaches and players and all this sort of stuff. So whether it's got something to do with that or just someone being an idiot, because there seems to be plenty of people who like just to be an idiot and cause drama, I don't know. But I don't think the Dogs are worried about any sanction from the NRL. And I'm pretty sure, given what Todd Greenberg said when all this sort of kicked off a couple of years ago in terms of you know, these sort of videos that if it's retrospective, then they're not going to take any action. But it's just another distraction for the Bulldogs, for a club that doesn't need any more distraction.
What about John Bateman? Do we know where he'll end up?
I'm being tipped this morning that he's going to return to Wigan, and that seems to be on the cards. It's very sad to see him leaving the Raiders in the way that it's sort of turned quite sour between Ricky Stewart, who's had a lot to say about player managers, and John Bateman's manager Isaac Moses in the last sort of couple of days. I think the issue for the Raiders, what they were mostly angry about, was the transfer fee. They've paid Wigan a £200,000 transfer fee to get him out here in the first place, and now he's going to go with a year to go on his contract. So there's all these different versions. It depends on who you talk to about why Bateman is leaving the Raiders. But I think it hasn't been unnoticed by Peter Volandis at head office about the way some contract negotiations have been playing out, including this one. And I think it's further evidence that the way that agents conduct business in the game needs to be shaken up.
Now, just to leave you, Webby, for anyone who, I encourage people to buy the Herald today and read your column, because you've mentioned Midori Illusions at Fenny's Nightclub. So
is that still going, Fenny's Nightclub?
Oh, the Illusions.
A jug of Illusions at Fenny's Nightclub.
I had a couple there. I've had a couple at Fenny's Nightclubs during my university.
Oh, dearie me.
So buy the paper.
But you know why? But can I just quickly explain why? Because... So you know how we've all been talking about all these players laughing and joking on from losing teams after the game, and we're talking about Isaac Luke, and so when I, you know, I'm probably showing my age, but back in the day, like, players would be filthy. Loz, you'd get this. Like, if you lost a game, you'd shake hands and then storm off the field. And I remember some Knights players telling me back in the 90s there, they went to a pub in North Sydney after a game. A couple of days after the game, just to have a drink at North Sydney at a pub. And they ran into all those Manly players who they hated so much. And for the whole night, they didn't acknowledge each other. That's how much it meant. That's how much they disliked the opposition. So whenever I see players laughing and joking on the field after a game, I think back to that story when there was hate in the game. That's what the game needs, and the world needs more hate.
Midori Illusions.
Oh, you know what? And if you can't find someone to hate, hate yourself.
You're the best, Webby. Have a great weekend, mate.
See you, boys.